Okay, so let's get started. And so the message today is unlikely heroes or heroines. I actually almost called this message Happy Mother's Day, now let's get over ourselves, because we got a destiny to fulfill. But then that was kind of long, so I thought I better not do that. Let's pray for a minute. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for Mother's Day. I thank you that I get to be a mom. I thank you. What a great gift you gave me in allowing me to be a mother and allowing me to feel your love and your joy in bearing a child and children. And Lord, I pray that today, as I represent mothers and mothers in the faith, that you would anoint this time. And I bind every distraction and every hindrance in technology and even in our distractions in our minds right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that nothing separates us from your love and that we would have ears to hear today in Jesus' name. Everybody say, I do this with the kids, that I'd have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand God's great love for me. Amen. Okay, happy Mother's Day. Now let's get over ourselves. We got a destiny to fulfill, okay? I felt really drawn to this place in the Bible that talks about the genealogy of Jesus. And the genealogy, you know, they have a lot of shows now, Ancestry.com and things like that, where you can kind of figure out where you came from. And Jesus doesn't make it a secret about where he came from. And when you look in Matthew, the genealogy usually just is the father and the son. They usually don't mention women. But in Matthew, Matthew mentions women. And he mentions specific women that have a scandalous past. And that's on purpose. Because Jesus wants us to know that he didn't come for the perfect gal. He didn't come for the perfect guy. He came for the imperfect. And a lot of us, when we have past, we like to hide our past. We don't want people to know about old Grandpa Jimmy and crazy things he did. We just kind of want to keep that a secret. But Jesus didn't keep it a secret. He wants everybody to know that he desires us to know the truth, that he came through a lineage of people, of imperfect, scandalous people. So we need to get kind of over ourselves and move ahead, because we can get stuck in thinking that we don't qualify. We can get stuck in condemnation. Well, you don't know what I did. You don't know. I yelled at my kid the other day. You don't know what I've abandoned my children. You don't know. And Jesus says, no, that's why I came. That's why I came. So I always ask God for a little story, a little illustration. It just helps me in my life, and it helps me. And so I'm going to weave it through. I don't know how, but I'm going to weave it through. The Bible says in Ephesians that he's looking for a bride. And I want to speak the truth, but I want to speak the truth in love today. Jesus is looking for a bride. Now, he's not looking for this bride so that we get all perfect and then he comes back and takes us. He's looking for a bride right now. He's looking for a people right now to display his love. And it says that he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Now, the spot signifies sin. James even mentions it, that we should remain unspotted from the world. And that's talking about the sins of the world. And I just need to tell everybody, we're all sinners. Every single one of us. Every day, we need to wake up and ask the Holy Spirit and repent of the day before. Okay, don't think that you repent and, well, I asked Jesus into my life. It's a continuous, okay, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. And the wrinkle is kind of our bent, like maybe our family bent, you know, a wrinkle. How many know how difficult it is to get a wrinkle out that's been there for a long time? Generation after generation after generation. It's called ancestral sin or iniquity. It's a wrinkle. And you kind of just have this bent. And it's kind of like this. I don't know. I've just always been afraid. Always been afraid. My mom was afraid. My grandmother was afraid. My great-grandpappy was afraid. My dog's afraid. Everybody's afraid. Well, that's a wrinkle. That's a bent. Well, I just get angry. That's just who I am. I get angry. Well, everybody in your family got angry. You got a wrinkle in your dress. And the guys be like, oh, thank God she's talking about the bride, because I'm out. That's not true. You are part of the bride. So today I'm talking about everybody, from the littlest to the oldest, from the most righteous to the sinliest. That's even a word. So today I want to kind of talk about that. And my friend Amanda, I got to celebrate her beautiful wedding. And so happens that she shared the story about her wedding gown. Stark white, gorgeous. But there's a backstory. There's always a backstory when it comes to God. There's always a backstory. You never know a person's backstory and what they're working through and what they're working out. We all have one. Her backstory with her dress, you never would have known Friday night when she stood up here that there was a backstory. Because you know what? She took it to the cleaners. She took it to have some alterations. And guess what happened? She took a stark white dress for some alterations, and they had some, when she got it back, there were some spots on it. And she had to be really tenacious about looking over the dress. And here's a key. She had a few friends help her look over the dress. That's what we need to do. We need a few friends in our life. Hey, look over my dress. You see any spots? What about any wrinkles? Are there any wrinkles back there? And they need to point them out to you because you know what? Sometimes we don't see it. She was like, how did they not see all these spots on this dress? They're so obvious. And so they all looked at it, were tenacious. She took it back. She took it back. The next time she gets the dress back, it's got a bigger spot. And everybody was like, that's like they're doing it on purpose. What are they doing? I throw like coffee on it. What is happening? It's bigger. She was telling me this. And by the way, she told me I could share this story in case anybody's wondering. She told me that she kind of freaked out, but she didn't freak out like she would have in the past. You see, she has a wrinkle that she worked through over time where they pressed and steamed the wrinkle of fear out of her life. Because before, she would have panicked. She might have even sinned against the people that were putting the spots, but she didn't. Now, every bride knows days before your wedding, it's a little sketchy when your dress comes back and it has some spots. So all grace to her, right? But the main thing was she had to be tenacious to go back and deal with it. What would have been the reaction of the groom who was standing up here and he watches his bride come down with a bunch of spots all over, like a big old spot right here? What's that say? That says, you know what, it's no big deal. It's no big deal that I have spots and wrinkles all over my dress. I'm just going to present to you any old way. And here's another thing. He didn't say he's coming back for a bride in sweatpants and a t-shirt with some nacho cheese stain down the front. You know, or maybe that was me the other day. I don't know. Anyhow, he said he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And when I sat up there Friday night and I looked at her, I couldn't see one spot. I didn't see one wrinkle. Because you know why? She was tenacious to deal with it. We live in a day and a time that we need to be tenacious to deal with our spots and our wrinkles because God has a destiny in us and he has someplace for us to go, right? Amen. So let's get over ourselves because you're going to see the women in Jesus' genealogy that had some stuff. They had some stuff. And I'd rather hear someone preach that had some stuff because it gives me hope. It gives me a whole lot of hope that I don't have to be perfect. I just have to be willing. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for partnership. You're going to see that these women partnered with him. So we're going to start with our first gal, and her name is Tamar. And I used to read about her, and I used to kind of scan over it because it kind of freaked me out, honestly. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I really do encourage you to look it up because it's very interesting. And I really kind of looked at what she did. It's so unorthodox that I just kind of blew over it. And I thought, well, she's too scandalous to even really understand that whole thing. But she really wasn't. When I researched it this time, she really wasn't. There was some injustice done to her, and she could have remained in a place of unfruitfulness. But something in her said, you know what, I'm going to be tenacious, and I'm not going to do that. So let me just tell you about her real quick. It's funny that we dedicated Judah today. It starts with Judah and Tamar. And it says that Perez came out of their line. That's where I'm saying where that was the son that came out. Tamar, we're going to find a little... I'm going to tell you some little stories here. She was given to by Judah. Judah was the dad, and he had two sons, and he gave Tamar to his first son. I don't know what the guy did, but God saw him as wicked, the things that he did. You guys know that the wages of sin equals death. Something will die. Don't be mocked. God's not mocked. Wages of sin are death. We reap what we sow, okay? That's the truth. So he saw something he did was wicked. And so in that time in the Old Testament, they had a protection for women. Women had very, very little rights. And so the protection for these women was that if the first husband dies and she's childless, then she comes into her brother's house and he marries her. And so it's his rights and his job to impregnate her. But here's the thing. It's not for him, it's not his child. It becomes the elder son's child. The inheritance is still the elder son. It's like an honor, okay? Well, he dishonors Tamar. And guess what happens to him? He dies, okay? So what do you think? There's a backstory here. So Judah has just lost two sons to one woman. What do you think he's thinking about giving up the third one? No. So he applies the tactic that many of us use, and it's called the tactic out of sight, out of mind. And he sends her back to her father's house. Ouch. Now you're Tamar, and here's the backstory. Neither Tamar nor Judah know that these guys died because they were wicked. They did dishonorable things. They sinned. The cost of them sinning was death. Tamar doesn't know that, and Judah doesn't know that. So what's Judah thinking about Tamar? She's black widow, I heard somebody say. I'm not giving her my third son, no way. But he knows that there's a law, so he thinks, well, I'm just going to do a little out of sight, out of mind. And he sends her back to her father's house. What do you think Tamar is saying about herself right now? Think she feels any worth? I'm thinking you know what? People talk, and the enemy accuses. People talk, and the enemy accuses, and you're going to partner with it, or you're not. So she goes to her father's house, and now she remains there. She's in a really bad place because he has told her to go there and wait. So it would have been better if she could have gone and just, like, did the whole mourning thing, and then there could have been someone else in the town that would have married her, and she could have had a family. Because she has to have, if she does not have that, she is truly destitute. It's the children that keep her in that line. So it's his daughter-in-law, so she needs to stay in the family. It'd be almost like, literally, if somebody's spouse dies, that you remove them entirely from your family. That was the condition. So it was very difficult for her, and she was stuck. And I think about her, and I think about, you know what? She could have remained there. The message about her today is she ends up doing something kind of tricky, kind of clever, kind of scandalous. She, in that day, like I said, it's Judah's line. So two sons are gone. There's one that's supposed to come her way. He's not coming. So she still has to find how to get the seed. Because she's not barren. She's fruitful. But she needs a partnership to fulfill her destiny. There's something in her that says, you know what? I'm destined for something. I'm supposed to go somewhere. I'm supposed to do something. I'm supposed to be in the something in her spirit. I'm in the lineage of Jesus. Something, I need the seed. So she does something pretty clever and pretty unorthodox, but it falls in the law of that time, okay? We're in a whole new, Jesus has perfected the law. So what she does, she figures out that, she finds out that Judah's wife just died. So he's probably lonely. She disguises herself as a prostitute, veils her face, and goes and stands in the city street. Judah comes up and propositions her. They have a relationship, and he impregnates her. There's the seed. Here's the tricky part. She's unmarried at that time because Judah does not know it's her. And so she's clever. He doesn't have any money to pay her, but he offers to pay her later. And she said, how about this? Why don't you give me some personal items of yours for some security? Do you realize how scandalous and risk-taking she was just to get out of the destitution she was? She would do anything to get out of that. She was not going to stay there. Pastor said something to me when we were talking about it. He said, it's almost like someone being in poverty. Their whole family's been in poverty, and they're stuck over in poverty in their father's house. And one day they just say, no. This isn't going to happen. I'm coming out of that. And that's what she did. She said, I'm coming out of that. And so she kept his personal identity. Very clever. So what happens is a double standard happens. And it's Judah finds out that she has become pregnant. What? Yeah, your daughter-in-law, who's been waiting forever, now is pregnant. Oh, well, he decides that the proper way to handle that is bring her back and we will burn her. I'm not even playing here. I mean, this is how risk-taking she was. We will set her on fire and everything will be satisfied. So she has to trust. She must know Judah enough. Remember, he was the one that kind of regretted some things with Joseph. There must be something in Judah that she knows that he's going to see the truth and repent. There must be some, or maybe not. Maybe she's just that wild that she's going to do this to get out of her situation. So she comes before him, and if this were a reality TV show, the ratings would have gone crazy. It would have been like,
tonight we have Tamar reveal.
The ultimate reveal of who the father is, of Tamar's pregnancy. And everybody be tuned in. Now it's probably like, we hear this so much now, it's like, yeah, I'm not watching that. You know, but back then it would have been big news. So she comes and she just says, well, really, basically the father is the guy who has this seal. And Judah's like, oh my gosh, that's mine. And this cord, oh, that's mine too. And how about the staff that everybody knew was Judah's? Okay, the big reveal. And praise God that Judah repents and says, you were more righteous than me. Because she still managed to stay in the law because she stayed. It really does pass over to any man in that family. It's a Old Testament that kept women safe and all of that. We don't live like that now. But the key to her was the tenacity to say, you know what? I'm not staying here. I am destined for more. I am destined for motherhood. And the question this morning is, what are you destined for? What are you destined for? What do you need to be tenacious to get out of? What do you need to go multiply? What do you need to go and be a part of? What do you need to partner? He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for partnership. She partnered. She partnered. And guess what? It was considered to her righteous. And she's referred to it in Jesus' genealogy. Which brings me to the next gal. The next gal I'm going to use, I'm going to say that she was tenacious, was Tamar. The next one is going to be Rahab. And we're going to say that Rahab had the fear of the Lord. Now, Rahab is also in the line of Jesus. And Rahab is an actual prostitute, okay? Tamar acted like one. Rahab actually is one. And she has a home that's located in the walls of Jericho, like location, 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 okay? She knows who's coming and who's going. And it's the sovereignty of God that he leads Joshua sending spies into the land because they want to take, you know, the whole Jericho wall story. Some of you are probably familiar with that. He sends spies into the land, and the sovereignty of God is he leads them to Rahab. Rahab actually has heard about God. She's heard about him. She's heard about what this God of the Israelites has done. And she believes. She believes. There's something in her. She's like, I don't know, but I think he's for real. She actually makes this declaration. Let's see if I have it right here. But she makes this declaration that he is the God of the earth, above and beneath. She's not Jewish, okay? So there's women in Jesus' line that aren't even Jewish. He didn't come from this pedigree line of perfection. He came from prostitutes. He came from the foreigner and the broken. Like those you mama jokes wouldn't work with Jesus. You know those, remember back in the day we used to go, well, your mama, well, they couldn't do that with Jesus because they were, you know? Your mama, I can't say that. Well, your mama, she seduced, oh, no, I can't say that either. Wow. This is no fun. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's right. They were all sinners. They were scandalous. And the thing is, God's looking for women that are tenacious. He's looking for women and mothers and men and fathers that have the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord brings what? Wisdom. So because she heard the truth and believed it, it was counted to her righteous because she feared God. And so when the spies come, she tells them, hey, listen, I need to talk to you. Because I've heard about your God. Everybody here is actually really terrified. She totally, what do they call that? A traitor? She betrays her people for God. And the fear of the Lord will do that. You won't care what other people think. You won't care what other people think. Because it didn't just rely on Rahab. It was her family that she was concerned about. It was her mother. It was her father. It was her brother. It was her sisters. So I want to read something because she says something really, really great. She says this, as she's telling the spies this, as soon as we heard the things that God has done, parting the Red Sea, on and on and on, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, okay, the Lord your God, this is what she's saying to these spies, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that have and deliver our lives from death. We need a few mothers that'll say, will you please spare my son, my daughter, my mother, my brother, my sisters, my family? So the men answered, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly with you and truly. Then she let them down by a rope, you know, the famous scarlet cord. And by that, she ends up saving her entire household. So she sold her body to provide for her family. And we don't know what the condition was in Jericho. I mean, she's not a Jewish woman. She doesn't know the laws of God at all. So that might have been typical. I don't know. But she takes in these spies. She lets them down. And when it's time for Joshua to come and get them, he says several times, do not touch Rahab. So Rahab ends up leaving all of her people and going in and living among with the Jews and the Israelites. And she actually marries a man named Salmon. And guess who their son is? Their son is really important in the lineage of Jesus. I don't know if you know this, but her son is Boaz, one of my favorite people. So how did she get from being a prostitute in Jericho to marrying a man and producing the son Boaz, who is righteous, honorable, prosperous? There's a huge backstory that none of us know. But it's all about redemption. It's all about grafting people into a family. It's all about, that is not uncommon. That is completely scriptural. God takes the foreigner and grafts them into a family, his family, literal, physical family. I watched a wedding and like 20 of us or 15 of us said, we give her to the groom. I see a baby dedication and I see all these. We're not blood, but we are blood. We are. God grafts us in. We're not independent. We're together. We're a family. The second, so Boaz is very important in the redemption of another woman named Ruth. She's one of my favorites. She's one of my heroes. Ruth is a complete foreigner. Ruth comes from the loss of a husband and a father-in-law. She's traveling with Naomi, and Ruth could have had the easy way out. Naomi's going back to Bethlehem. She lost two sons. Think about this. Two sons and a husband. This is truth, okay? Think about it. How many women do you know that have lost two children and a husband and don't have to struggle with some bitterness? She was going back to Bethlehem where her people were. I can't take all this pain. And when she went back to Bethlehem, she was no longer Naomi. She said, call me bitter. My name's Mara. My life has been very, very bitter to me. How many know that God sees and cares about the losses of your life? And he will go out of his way to redeem you because you have a destiny to fulfill. And he loves you like crazy. And so she comes into Bethlehem with Ruth. Ruth could have taken the easy way out. Ruth was young. She's like, Ruth, go back to your people. Go back to the Moabites. Go find a man. You have to take, these women had to take care of themselves that way. That's the way that it was. Thank you, Jesus. He's our man now, right? So he's the perfection. He's the one that gets us out of our trouble. He's the one that makes all the ashes of our life beautiful, okay? So she's with Ruth, and Ruth's like, no, I'm not. You've told me too much about your people and your God, and I want your people to be my people. I want your God to be my God, and she leaves it all. For a life of being a foreigner, the possibility of her ever marrying Zippo, but she's serving Naomi, and she loves Naomi, and she desires to lay down all of her dreams and joy to serve her Naomi. Well, Naomi, I don't know about you, but some Jewish mamas, they like to brag about their daughters. Actually, is there a mother in here that doesn't like to brag about her daughter? I don't think so. We love to brag about them. Love to brag about our daughters. Well, Naomi starts talking when she gets to Bethlehem about her little Ruth and all the great things Ruth has done for her. In the meantime, Ruth is sowing into this field and kind of working. It's pretty bad. She's just like picking up. She's not actually working in the field. She just kind of tags along and picks up all the stuff that people drop. Okay? Pretty much like a beggar in a way. And there's this guy, Boaz, who starts hearing these stories of this gal named Ruth, okay? Now, I have to think that the backstory here is Boaz's ears pick up about a foreigner. I think he's pretty sensitive to Ruth's plight. And you know why? Because his mother was Rahab. His mother was a foreigner. His mother was destitute. His mother left everything to follow the one true God. So when he sees Ruth, he's like, oh, wow, she reminds me of my mom. That's good stuff. And how does he even know that? Because Rahab talked. Rahab shared her testimony. Come on, as mothers and fathers of the faith, we need to start talking to our generation below us. Don't hide your spot. Show them the wrinkle. Like, yeah, you see that wrinkle right there? It took a while to press that one out. You might have to watch that in your family line, okay? And keep an eye on that wrinkle. Keep an eye on that spot. Because I think he saw that he represents Jesus. Jesus loves the foreigner. He loves the sad, he loves the destitute. He loves the abandoned, the forgotten, the forsaken. So Boaz ends up marrying her, and they have a son. They have a son, and his name is Obed, and he's actually the grandfather of David, correct? Grandfather of King David. There's a couple other that are mentioned, but I think I really wanted to focus on those. You know, Boaz was a man of honor and prosperity. He heard the stories of this girl from a foreign territory. You know how mothers brag. He notices her and cannot help wondering if she has the same resemblance as his mom. And he's moved with compassion towards her, a lot like how Jesus is moved with compassion towards us. And these women share five things in common. They all were in distress. They either were in distress because of their own actions or the injustice that was done to them in that culture. And the message that God is bringing loud and clear through this whole thing is that we do not have to be perfect. We just have to be willing. We have to be willing to partner with God. We have to be willing to look at the spots and wrinkles of our life. We have to be tenacious about it. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, not for later, but for right now. Right now. He has a destiny in you right now. And you're like, you can't use the excuse, oh, no, you don't know where I've been. No, yeah, I do. I do know where you've been because it's right in here. Listen, we spend so much time as Christians trying to live out the Hallmark movie channel. And I'm here to tell you, it's Lifetime for women, baby. We ain't getting the Hallmark movie channel, okay? It's Lifetime. It's rated R sometimes, okay? It's rated for violence, okay? For just our life doesn't always look like what we want it to look like. And it's, why do we get that? Why do we get that? Because everybody in here has been proven. Everybody in here has had to be tenacious, persevere, go through hard stuff. When you're doing the Word of God, you look crazy. Okay, everybody in here. So you can't say anymore, you do not have that excuse anymore to say, you don't know where I've been. You don't have that excuse. You have to say, I know where I've been. Don't be ashamed of it, but get away from it.
Be tenacious and come out of your father's house. Come out of the generations. Well, you don't know. Everybody was addicted in my family. You can come out. If they can, so can we. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and right now. So we need to be tenacious. We need to be God-fearing. Don't be deceived. He's not mocked. You will reap what you sow. I wish I truly believed that sometimes. I believe it more now, trust me, than I have. But there have been times I'd read that, oh, yeah, you reap what you sow. I don't really know what that means. Oh, yeah, you'll figure it out. After a couple times of reaping, you're like, oh, now I know. And you'll be quick to repent. You'll be quick to say, I got a spot. Somebody get the spot out. We got to go to the cleaners. And you'll go back every day to the cleaners until the spot is out. You will iron and iron and iron and iron until the wrinkle is gone. Because God wants to give us something that we can carry. We cannot carry his glory. We cannot go into the next level. We cannot be who he wants us to be in the earth with spots and wrinkles. Do we have to be perfect? I've already said we don't have to be perfect, right? We just have to partner. We just have to partner with where we are and make the next right yes. Amen? Last but not least, we need to be sold out. Sold out. I don't know, we always say this. Sold out the whole route. Sold out the whole route. We have to really be willing to leave it all behind with the idea that we don't know what's ahead. We don't know what's ahead. And this is where we have to trust. This is where we have to have faith. You know, Rahab, it says that she had faith and works. She could have just had faith, I believe God, and never do a thing about it. And guess where she and her family would be right now? Wiped off. She had faith, and then she worked her faith. And she actually did something. She opened the window. She threw the scarlet cord over. She had a whole elaborate plan for these spies. I mean, she gave them the whole itinerary. She said, okay, they're going to go here for a couple days, and you go hide. She was like a huge multitasker, you know. I have some friends. My friend back there, Kim, she's a huge multitasker. She's like the wedding MacGyver. If you're going, she's like the MacGyver of women. She can do anything. I think she did everything at that wedding except do the ceremony. I'd go find her. She's making flowers. I look in another room. She's doing somebody's hair. I come over here. She's doing somebody's makeup. I'm like, Kim is everywhere. She's like MacGyver of weddings. I don't even know what my point was on that one, but we need to be sold out. Okay. He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. You don't have to be perfect. But you do have to partner. Because the religious spirit will try to condemn you and keep you trapped in your father's house and full of shame, full of, and you know, the father's house is symbolic, you know, full of shame, full of distress. That's where he wants you. But you have a destiny. You have a destiny, so you need to come out. I'm going to close with this, and I think I'm just going to pray over you. Because we need to be tenacious. This is a season of our life that we want to be carriers of the glory of God. We want to be carriers of his glory. So don't come tell me you can't do it. Don't tell me that you can't do it because you got spots on your dress. Because I know where the cleaner is. Okay? I don't mind being taken to the cleaners. That used to be a negative statement, but take me to the cleaners. I'll go every day, every moment, every hour, because I want to be in the full destiny that God has for me. Amen? So don't say that anymore. That's condemnation. And Jesus came for the broken. He came for the prostitutes. He came for harlots. He came for desperate people. He came for ashamed people that were ashamed. He came for foreigners, people that didn't belong. He came for all of those. So we don't have excuses now. It's time to sell out. And so I'm going to pray, Father God, I pray that you would give us a tenacious spirit. A tenacious spirit, Lord, so that we can be the men and women that you called us to be. Full of your glory. Without a spot, without a wrinkle. Be able to just totally house your love. And love people where they're at. And never look down on them, because we know that we have had spots as well. Lord, let us use our past to help another. Say, listen, you're fine. You're right where God wants you to be. a sinner saved by grace. So I thank you for that, that we would be tenacious, Lord, that we would have the fear of the Lord, knowing that it's the beginning of all wisdom. Wisdom for ourselves and wisdom for our whole entire family. It was Rahab that stopped it for her family, Lord. And Boaz and Ruth were a whole other story. That we would be sold out for you, Lord. Sold out for you in the name of Jesus. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. Say, you know, I don't even really even know Jesus as my Savior. And if that's you today and you're like, I know I have a destiny. Something you're saying to me right now encourages me that there's more. There's more to my life. There's more to my life. Then I would like to partner with God in the first act of partnership and just acknowledge that I need him as my Savior. If that's you, just signal me with your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you. We confess you right now that you are the Son of the Most High God. And we repent for our sins. And we ask you to come into our life in Jesus' name. If you would want to come up for prayer, that would be great. We have people that would love to agree with you, and the ministry team can come up. Amen.